Behold, he comes.
Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Follow your will for me,
I'm true. Let your heart be filled, my heart's cry. Let me live to serve your call.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I love to sing your praise.
Lord, I love to sing your praise.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
So glad you came to save me.
I'm so glad you came to save me.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came.
You came.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My pain to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I need to name.
You came from heaven to earth.
You from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My death to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I need to name.
You came from heaven to earth.
You came from heaven to earth. Show the way from the earth to the cross.
my life. I'm so glad you came
to save me.
I'm so glad you came
to save me.
You came
to save me.
Say it a bit. Come on, O Siganyo Nefeza, O Siga, Ama Inja Komu Wendo, Te Wali Nomu Akwe Kana.
Sila Mazoto,
Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, it says, he talks about running the race. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Then he says, run in such a way that you may obtain it, or that you may obtain the prize. Now I know for sure that we are all involved in some kind of race or the other. But the reality is that not everybody will obtain the prize. But the truth is, the Lord wants everyone to run in such a way as to obtain the prize. So there is a way you run and you ensure that you actually get the prize. Because you don't run for nothing. Praise the Lord. We all run for a purpose and we do not expect to end with absolutely nothing. Now, you know, some people are saying, but for you, you ran and you ended with nothing. You're lying yourself. I ran in such a way as to win what? You may not have seen it, but that's because you're looking with certain eyes, which you're not supposed to. That was a joke, you know. But it says, do you not know that those who run, all of them run, but just one person obtains the prize? Then he says that, now run in such a way that you are that person who obtains the prize. Praise the Lord. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and start from verse 4. It says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Verse 5 is what I'm most interested in. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, what he's saying is that, using the, you know, metaphor of running, he says, run in such a way that you win the prize. Then he says, but you cannot actually obtain the prize unless you run according to the rules. Now, in real athletics, there are very strict rules. If you step on the line, you know those lines which separate the athletes? If your leg steps on it like this, you're disqualified, even if you came first. So you have to run in such a way that you keep your body within that limit throughout the race. Even if you go around the pitch, you keep yourself in that, you know, in your lane. Otherwise, if you even touch the line, you're out. So now he says, run in such a way that you obtain the prize. Then he says that you do not get anything unless you compete according to the rules. Now, there are rules of engagement in this race we are involved in. Praise the Lord. Now, when we come here, we are in some kind of race and there is something we want to obtain. But there are rules, and this is what Paul is talking about. There are rules which if you do not obey, you actually end up not getting the prize.
And it is very possible, knowing everything that is required for somebody to get the prize, but you end up empty-handed because you did not run according to the rules. Now go back to the previous verse where we were, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? Do you not know that all those who come to or who attend or who somehow, you know, are in connection with this grace, all are in it? Don't you know that all of them are in it? But only some, I will paraphrase, only some will get the prize. That's the honest truth. Because others are not running according to the rules. And the thing is, there are so many people who have an idea of what to do, but they want to do it according to their own. They set their own rules, and they go by those. And those rules are, then he goes on to say, run in such a way that you may obtain it. Next verse, verse 25. Then he says, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate. In other words, is disciplined. Everyone who competes is disciplined in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Then go to the next verse. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Now all this of course is going some, but there's something I'm interested in, and it's the bit about temperate, which means they run when they have a sense of discipline. Now you know there is so many people who think, and especially in this modern day, who think that there are things to be gotten even from the Lord without any discipline whatsoever. You just come and do, you cannot discipline yourself to do anything. Everything is done according to your whims. How you feel that day, if it has rained, if it hasn't rained, if it's cold, if it's warm, if it's, you know, all these things. And you think that there's any prize to be won by actually behaving like that. And there is actually none. Because there is no, you cannot even discipline yourself to pray for 10 minutes a day. Discipline every day. You cannot. You will just not do it. So when you feel like praying, you pray. When you do not feel like praying, you do not pray. Now, you actually do not get the prize. Not the prize at least you're supposed to get. Because there is a value in the thing called discipline. There's a value in actually disciplining yourself. And then you can't discipline yourself to do even basic things. You cannot discipline yourself to pay tithe or to pay, give your, you know, partnership. You give when you feel like it. You do not give when you do not feel like it. You cannot discipline yourself to come for fellowship. Now it's online. So you can sit in the comfort of your sitting room and watch it online. But then the Bible does not say in vain that we should gather together to fellowship. You understand? You're disconnected from something. Don't think just because you hear the words that are spoken, you get the same benefit as somebody who is there. No, you do not. Because there is a corporateness about people being together who have the same faith. Isn't it? Now, just because you're watching online and you've heard what I said and you even understood, it doesn't mean that you get the same benefit as somebody who came for it and who made the step. But because, you know, it's not convenient. There's somebody whom I told, I didn't see you at fellowship. Oh, I thought it was Thursday. I didn't know it was Friday. And now he or she thinks that she will obtain the prize. You're not taking anything seriously. Nothing is of any value to you. Now, let me tell you, if it actually was value to you, if it was something that you held valuable, you would not have forgotten that it was Friday. But that just shows that you do not take it seriously enough to be disciplined and say, this, I have to do this, 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 this. You can even be disciplined not to come if you don't want. The purpose of this is not to tell you that you come. You come or don't come, that's up to you. My point is, if you really want to get what is done here, you have to discipline yourself and say regardless, unless of course they are very, you know, circumstances that are beyond you. I am not putting any law on anybody. But my point is, there are people who really don't care about it. Like, they are so apathetic about everything. And they expect to obtain a prize. And yet, if it was something which they really valued, praise the Lord. If it was something which they valued, they would actually be there on time. Even things like the time. You know, in the book of in 1 Samuel, there was the scripture of, I think it's 1 Samuel chapter 5, where Eli, the priest, the Lord appears to him and tells him. Now, Eli was a priest and he followed the Lord and so on. But his children, he could not discipline his children enough. So he knew what they were doing that was wrong, but he just let it pass. And he knew they were dishonoring the sacrifice of the Lord. And his children did things which dishonored the Lord, and he knew about them, but he did not care. So now, at the end of it, when Samuel is now grown and is taking over from him as priest, then the Lord tells Samuel that tell him that I told him he and his family will serve before me forever. But now I am changing my mind. I'm paraphrasing. But says, but now I am saying that I will honor those who honor me. And those who do not honor me will be lightly esteemed. So in other words, I, the Lord, said, but now I'm changing my mind. You, 1 Samuel chapter 5, where is it? I will honor those who honor you, honor me, and those who dishonor me will be. Because, and what was Eli's sin? Just not disciplining his children and telling them, no, you cannot do that. Because there were rules according to which they, and the Bible says, because of his children, the sacrifice of God was greatly dishonored. Even the people were loath to the sacrifice. You know, it's 1 Samuel chapter 5, I think, verse 30. Chapter 5, verse 30. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 30. So he says that, regardless of what I said before. Now that means that there are people who will have, okay, 2 verse 30. Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, in other words, now the Lord is changing his mind. Far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And he sets a rule. How do you honor him? I remember one time I was praying at the beginning of the year, and the Lord told me that this is how I know that you value me, by how much time you give me. Because it was so clear that there are so many things to do. You have to do this, that, the other, you know, and so on. So if you can discipline yourself to actually have time with the Lord, then that shows that you value him. Okay? Now, if you can discipline yourself to, I'll give, if you don't have time for something, you don't value it. And you can deceive yourself, I love the Lord and what, but there are parameters by which you follow. There are some people who enter, when we sit and do ministry, you know, groups, they say, ah, me, I'm going to be on this. I'm going to be on this group and what. And they will do nothing. And not because they can't, but just because they don't have the time. It's not important. But they want God to prioritize their problems, but they will never prioritize anything to do with him. Okay? Now, like, I'll give you an example. Now we are live on Facebook. There are so many people even who are supposed to be on social media team. They cannot even share. But they will share a stupid joke or a meme. True? So God is seeing and saying the jokes are more important. So now he says, I will honor those who honor me. And those who don't honor me, I will not honor them. And they will be lightly esteemed. And they are simple things, because there are so many things that can be done by, actually, there are quite a number of things that can be done by us to do, you know. People put their head out there, and they put their face out there, and you can see some people put themselves in harm's way, so to speak, because they believe in something. Then there are those who just sit back and like cross their legs and hope things, you know, somehow let it come to me. I want to get the benefit of it. Now, let me tell you the truth. Those are the people even who say amen the loudest. If I say now, this is going to be one amen. But that's as far as they will go. Now, he says, when you're running in a race, you have to be temperate. You have to discipline yourself. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says that, run in such a way that you may obtain the prize. There is a prize to be won. And there is something that there is. There is a benefit. There is a clear benefit for everyone in whatever pursuit you are in. Okay? Now, if I tell you there is a grace for ownership, some people will say, amen. Other people will go further and say, there is a house I want. I am sowing a seed for it and believing on it. Others will even go further and say, I have seen the house. I am envisioning on it. And every day when I'm praying in tongues, I'm seeing that house. Now, those are running in such a way as they will win the prize. But there are others who will say amen, and they just go and continue with their life as it is. And nothing is going to happen. And then they are the ones who keep on coming with the same problems over and over again. And now for all the years I've started watching, I've seen people who have come every single year. There is not some, when you look, The problems they have are the same. They are going round the same mountain over and over and over again. And you ask yourself, can't you say what is wrong with me? How come I'm going round the same mountain? How come I was having problems with rent 5 years ago? I'm having problems with rent now. Of the same house. At least if it was a big house. How come there was this? Like, there has to be, you have to say, am I really running in such a way as I'm winning the prize? Why am I not winning the prize? There has to be a prize in the form of your life changing, something changing about your life, or something like that. There has to be a prize. And if you don't run in such a way as to actually win it, you will not. And now, let's not lie ourselves that everybody is somehow going to find themselves in some kind of magic. There is an expectation from the Lord of you, of what you are supposed to do. And when you do your part, it will happen. It is just like that. Some people would actually go and say, I heard there is a grace for ownership. This is what I want. Then they go and envision and take pictures and go home and pray and say, Lord, I'm believing for this. Now, you're running in a way as to win the race. Then others will say, now, I am sowing to. They will do something, you understand? Others will say, amen, and that's the end of it. Now, he says, go to the next verse. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Now let me make this clear. When there is a grace for ownership and you go and expropriate that grace and get something by faith, by that grace, you are actually getting an imperishable crown because you will be rewarded for moving with the Lord when he wanted ownership and you went. You understand? Even if you're going to sleep in the house alone. But the Lord says, aha, now at least. Because if everybody just is apathetic, then the grace comes and the grace moves. And then nobody does. And then we end up with the same wicked people owning the same wicked property. And then on the day of judgment, God says, you could have taken that house, the other house, the other house. But now somebody who hates me came and took them because you decided to do nothing. So even when you get something for yourself, it is not a perishable crown. Even if the house is perishable and the car is perishable, but the fact that you got it by the grace of God, which and by following his word, there is a reward for that in the other kingdom. You understand? Because now you honor the Lord by walking in his victory, the victory he fought for you to have. Now imagine, I told somebody who was giving me this story of, I don't need all these things and so on. Yeah, as long as, I serve the Lord and what, I don't need to be so rich and so on. So I looked at him and I wanted to tell him you're a fool. But then I told him, what if, your father worked so hard to obtain a lot of properties in this, let's say in this city, and then he died and gave you the properties and died knowing at least my son will be comfortable. Even if I had to work hard and do this, at least my sons will be okay. Then your father looks from wherever he is and he sees that some mufere called the devil came and took all your houses and now you're renting a muzigo. How is your father going to feel? That's how the Lord Jesus Christ feels when he died and suffered for you to have a victorious life and you choose to live like a loser. Then he says, now I went through all of that for you. Praise the Lord. And then you choose to live like a loser when you can actually decide and determine to run in such a way as to win the race. And say, the Lord Jesus died for me to have the best life. I am not going to settle for mediocre life. Praise the Lord. And now when you determine that in your heart, it starts changing everything. I told you a time when I used to write, because I started getting that kind of foolish thinking. Then, that's when I read that thing by... I read it actually because I'd read those things so many years ago. I read that book, by that man, Kenneth Hagin, where he said the Lord told him that, you people, he told him that I'm so poor, I'm broke. You told me to leave this and come into this ministry. Now nothing is working. How come it's not working? He said, then he quoted for him a scripture. You said in Isaiah 1:19, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. So he said, I am willing and I'm obedient, but I've not seen the good of the land. Then the Lord told him, you're obedient, but you're not willing. Then he said, what? I am driving a very old car where the tires are like the tube. And I don't have any money whatsoever. And you say, I'm not willing? That's not willing. He said, no, you're not willing. Then he gave him an example and told him that time that, do you see the discotheques in the world. They make them very beautiful. They will put air conditioning. Of course, that's the 1950s. Air conditioning was a bit of a big deal. Actually, it was really luxurious. He says, but now, if you told the people in church that fundraise to put air conditioning in the church, they will say, that's a waste of money. Because they are not willing to enjoy themselves. But then, yet those who go to the discotheque want to go and find the best things. But when it comes to church, you want to settle for very little. So he says, you're not willing. So you have to actually believe that you are supposed to live the best life because you're a son of a king. So you have to actually believe it, that I should have the best because I'm a son of a king. Now, when you start completely believing it, then it starts manifesting. Then I remember I got a book. I went to, you know, Aristotle and bought a book like this. I started writing, I am a son of a king. I deserve the best things in life. I deserve the best what? Then eventually, at some stage, when somebody tells you, have you been to those where somebody asks you that, how do you go and take a cup of coffee at 20K when it's 2K somewhere in some plaza? Now you think such a person is willing? He's not. Because who is taking the other one of 20K? Are they children of kings? Even if they are, you come and join them, you're also a child of a what? Then you're not, now I'm not saying you go there unless you know, but it is gradual. So I started actually believing slowly by slowly that I deserve the best. I deserve the best. I deserve the best. Now, and I deserve the best. I deserve the best. I deserve the best. And I started running in a way as to win the prize of the best. Now, I am not yet at the absolute best, but I'm on my way there. Praise the Lord. And now you have to be on your way to the best, best. Best means what you want. What you consider is this one, if I get this one, I'm what? I have got what I wanted. That is the best. The best doesn't have to be according to anybody else's standards. It has to be only your standards. Praise the Lord. So now, it reminds me of somebody who said that for him he wants to eat Rolex. And like this, it's not like, and that's what he wants. Eh? Like really, he can afford all the meals in the world, but that's the food he wants. So you'd send somebody to go and get for him what? Rolex. And that is the best for him. But it's not about affording. Eh? Even if they told him Rolex is 100K or 200K or 500K, he would pay for it. But that's what he wants. You understand? So don't let anybody impose best on you. Best is what you want. This is what I want. This is the best for me. Praise. Now he says, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate, is disciplined in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but you for an imperishable crown. And I told you, every grace of God that you go and get or expropriate and get something for yourself by that grace, it is a reward in heaven. It is not just a reward here. You do know that? You know what? Remember what Jesus says? They will receive their reward here and in the life to come. So even that house, when you go and believe God for it and you get it, not only are you going to enjoy it here, but even in heaven, they will say, Athanasius did something powerful. He believed the grace of God and it got for him this property. Now that means that is another wicked person who is not going to have a property. Because the righteous person what? Has it. Now that's the whole point. Now, so it's for an imperishable. Now he says, let's go back to where we were. Verse 26. It says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Go ahead. But I discipline myself, my body. I discipline. Now let me tell you, the body is meant to be, is supposed to be in discipline. That's how it is. Do you know what it takes to have a disciplined life? The body, when it's time to sleep, the body tells you, I don't want to sleep. I still want to watch TV. Then when it's time to wake up, the body wants to sleep. In other words, the body rages against all discipline. You understand? Eh? Hey, when it is time, everything, it will just, now you're supposed to sleep. Then the body says, let's first watch this movie. Now in the morning, you're supposed to wake up. The body says, let's sleep. Now anybody who disciplines says, the body, no, it is time for this. Now it is time for us to do this. It's time for us to do this. You will do it whether you want it or not. The good thing is the body will listen to you. It does not command itself. It only exerts some kind of, let me tell you, There is the spirit, the soul, and the body. Okay? And we are three parts. Spirit, soul, and body. Now, all those parts have a voice. The voice of the spirit is our conscience, is intuition. You know those things. When you feel something and it's your spirit speaking. Or a conscience. You do something wrong and something inside you tells you, ah, that's not right. That is the voice of the spirit. Now, but it has so many. It can be an intuition. It can be a feeling, inner feeling. It can be, conscience. All those things, a voice of the spirit. Now, the voice of the soul is the mind, will, and emotions. The voice of the soul is called reason. Why? I should do this. Why? You have to convince the mind. So everything has to make sense. That is your soul saying we should do this. We feel this. Why? Why must we do this? So you have to be convinced. That is your soul demanding. Okay? Now the voice of the body is called feeling. I don't feel like it. But you're supposed to do it. I'm led to fast, but I don't feel like it. Will you ever feel like fasting? If you do, it's because you've disobeyed your body and you should. Now, when the combination of your body and your fleshly mind is what the Bible calls the flesh, and it always rages against God because they are tuned like that. Remember, they were operational in you when you did not even have an active spirit with the spirit of God. So they decided everything. So when your mind says we should do this, your body says yes. When your mind says anything, you understand? Eh? So it's your body. Now when you get born again, then the spirit comes. Now the spirit, because he has the spirit of God, wants to exert influence. Because he has this superiority complex. Okay? Because he's superior. Now, when your mind and when your spirit says, I think you should take off tomorrow and fast. Your mind says, tomorrow is tight. You know, there is a get together somewhere. It's actually not a good day to fast, but maybe you fast the other day. Now that is your mind trying to reason things out. Then your body will say, yes, don't fast. Because of course it doesn't want to fast. Now, when you are spiritual, your mind and your body have to obey your spirit. So what your spirit tells you to do is what you do. You shut up your mind and you shut up your body. Now, the easiest way is to renew your mind with the scriptures, with the word of God. The more your mind is full of the word of God, the more it will align with your spirit. And then you become spiritual. Okay? That's why he says by renewing of your mind, you know, do not conform to this world, but renew your mind. Okay? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The transformation comes when your mind is no longer thinking worldly, but it is thinking spiritual. Because it has been fed with a lot of word of God and so on. So now it's actually moving closer and closer towards the spirit and the body is being left alone. Now the body is a servant, which it is meant to be because it was made from soil and it is going to go where? To the soil. Now it is supposed to be a servant. You cannot operate in this world without it, but you cannot also let it rule over you. Otherwise you become a useless person. You want to do this, you do, you don't, you don't feel like coming fellowship, you don't come. You don't feel like there is no discipline. The body hates to be disciplined. When it is time to eat, it will say, I'm not hungry. When it is time to not eat, it will say, I'm hungry. Like it really has a mind of its own. And that's why they says it rages against, you know, the flesh and the spirit rage against each other. Galatians 5:16. Okay? They are contrary to one another because the spirit wants it to be disciplined that now I am supposed to serve here. I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do this. Discipline. It's time to wake up. It's time to sleep. It's time to do this. It's time to go and do something. Anything. Eh? It's time for choir practice. Now, when you actually discipline your body, it will stop having a say. Like it knows whether I scream or what, I'm going to go for choir practice. Whether I do what or what, we are fasting tomorrow and I'm not going to eat. Whether I do what, so it's there, quiet. Now, when you're like that, then you're called spiritual. In other words, you're spirit led, spirit governed. Now, when you're carnal, it's your fleshly governed. What your flesh wants is what you do. Good, bad, what? You just do it because your flesh wants. I don't feel like it. I feel like it. I feel like doing this. I feel like doing. I don't feel like what? Praise the Lord. Anyhow, but that's what. But it says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Lest having preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Lest having told others about the grace of God for ownership. Now I'm talking as me. Lest having told you that there is a grace for ownership. 2 years from now, I still have nothing. Because I did not discipline myself. Now this is Paul saying that you can actually tell other people what to do. And they go and do it. And you preach to them and they move out, move to the next level. But for you, remain there. And nothing changes about you. And it is very possible. And actually, I've seen a lot of it. Where there are people who preach about prosperity, but they are the brokest. Prosperity, prosperity, but they actually are very broke. Lest having preached to others, I myself may be what? A castaway. What makes you a castaway over others? It is because you did not bring your body into subjection. So now, the body demands, man, I don't feel like doing this. And some of you say, don't do something unless you feel like it. I wish you luck. Is that how athletes run? Do you think they feel like waking up to go and train? No, they don't. They and he says they do that for just an Olympic medal, which is perishable. But he says now for you, discipline yourself. There's something bigger than that. For you in this world and for the world there. The student does not feel like waking up to go in class, to go to class. But there are exams. So he has to. So now if you exercise that discipline when you're a student, and then when it comes to the things of God, you are now like really laissez faire. Then you actually are not going to get anything. And then you'll see people passing by you. Passing by you. And it is not happening to you. And you start, and let me tell you, this is what happened. You start moving all over the place, going to this place, the other place. And the other place looking for something that is not there. Yet actually, the problem is with you. You just not discipline yourself to do certain things which are, you know, are of benefit. And you will not discipline yourself. And now, if the apostle says, 1 Corinthians 15, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. Praise the Lord. Now, we are all what we are by what? But I want you to see what Paul says here. And he's, okay, first go to verse 9. For I am least of all the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Now I want you to think about this. Somebody comes into a place like this and they come with absolutely nothing. They are flat out nothing. And they are the least. They find you, guy, you are somewhere. And they are the least, the way Apostle Paul was. Remember when I told you by the end of it, he was the leader of the church, and he was even rebuking the apostles like Peter? You remember that? Now he says, I entered the last. Go to verse 8. He says, I was the last to come in. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one, born out of due time. Now, how does somebody born out of due time when things have moved on, but he enters as if a latecomer, how does he end up on top? This is what he's explaining. Then he goes to verse 10 and says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored, somebody say labored. There is a labor involved. You cannot just sit there and hope something is going to happen. There is a labor. He says, I was the last. The Lord was seen by Peter, by the apostles, by James, by what? And last by me, who was born out of due time. In other words, there is a grace. Somebody has known it for 5 years, then another one comes out of due time. Then after 1 year, the other one is the one who is on top. And those who have been there for a while are not. They are still there trying to, you know, move here and there and do things. It's because of one thing and one thing only. Discipline. Discipline. Now somebody will come, join, find some place maybe to minister, focus there. When it is time for this, he's there. When it is time for this, he's there. He's there. Or she's there. They commit themselves. And it takes a while. Because there is a benefit to all of this. Because the Lord sees that this one is somebody who honors me. How are you going to honor him? If you are involved in a ministry, you have to honor him by being, you know, at least appropriate. Simple, simple things where you can show that you honor him. But no, you're not. You will honor everything else and just come and hope that by saying amen, it is all sorted. It is sorted. But he says here that I labored. I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace towards me. Now there is nobody who cannot say that. His grace towards you. But he says it is not in vain because I labored. I did something for it. I labored more abundantly than all of them, than Peter, James, John, and what? All of them. This is what he's saying in context. So in the end, when Paul goes to Jerusalem at the end of his ministry, and he's now the head of the church, he says it's because I labored more than all of them, more than they all. Who are they? The ones he's talking about in the previous verses, the other apostles. He says, I labored. It is the grace of God, but I also had to labor. And I did something. It was not in vain. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. So it's the grace. Don't get us wrong. It's not all work. Okay? It is the grace. But it is also has to involve some labor. There is something you have to do. There is work which has to be done. And the Lord is depending on you. And there is a reward for it. Both in this life and the life hereafter. So do not let somebody who has, like Paul, don't let somebody do a Paul on you. To come out of due time, and then eventually is the one who is commanding you. The way Paul was now telling Peter, you played the hypocrite. What the person is telling was with Jesus 3.5 years. But he's telling him, you're there playing hypocrite. Then Peter is saying, yes, sir. But he says, I labored more than they all. This is what he says. Now, there is something attached to it. It's not, you don't just get it. Now, okay, let's go ahead. Yet not, but the grace of God which is in me. Go ahead. I think that's what I wanted to, whatever. Now, we have to understand that some people believe that we are in a period of grace, which we are, and things come to us by grace, which they do, but then they think they are going to sit there and relax and enjoy and basically take everything so casually. You know what somebody, that Nigerian guy who says a casual approach produces casualties. And I actually come to believe that. There is nowhere where you go and be casual like that and get results. It doesn't work. And the Lord knows that if you would do this, the Lord knows that if this meant anything of value to you, you could have lifted yourself and gone and done this. But you don't value it. So he says, far be it from me. Those who honor me will be honored. And those who do not honor me will be lightly esteemed. So it takes a while. God notices that there is no honor for him or for his things, the things that have value to him. If you can watch on Facebook, why come? Go ahead and watch on Facebook and see how many people are going to do a poll on you. Okay? That's what's going to happen. Because it's meant for people outside of the country and so on. When you can be in a fellowship, and you people know this, imagine if your wife told you or your girlfriend that let's meet on Zoom. There is a value in people who believe being together, isn't it? These things are, first of all, they are even going to mess us up there. The one place they will not mess us up is when we actually have the discipline of coming and meeting. Do not neglect the assembling together of the brethren, the Bible says. Now, imagine if you had this girl whom you're in love with. And he called and said, Irene, can we meet tomorrow? He says, I don't have time. What about the day after? I don't have time. But you tell it to me on the phone. What would you think? Does she value you? No, neither do you value the Lord. If you say, today I don't work. Zoom over Facebook. What do you want to say? Say it on the phone. Then you put the guy in serious trouble. And what I was trying to say is will you marry me? But you imagine now the truth is that is really taking. Let's end with Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Praise the Lord. Take my what? yoke. He has a yoke. It's not just walking like that. He also has a yoke. It's not like the other one. You understand? But he also has, this is Jesus saying, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls. Praise the Lord. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He does not say my yoke is not there and there is no burden. No, there is. You have to lift yourself. You have to believe. You have to come. If you're Lazarus, you have to shout from the side of the Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. That's the yoke you have to take in order to get your sight. He does not just sit there. Jesus is passing by. He hasn't seen him. The man has to shout, Son of David, have mercy on me. Hey, you shut up. Son of David, have mercy on me. Then he stands. Then the people who are telling you, shut up, says, be of good cheer. He's now calling you. So there is a yoke. Don't think that the things of the yoke is just free, you know, laissez faire. If you take the, he says his yoke is easy. Now try the yoke of the world and see. Try the yoke of the world and see. There is, I was supposed to end with that scripture. Let me give you one more. Just one more. You not die. It's in Psalms 107. Verse 11. Because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel. Just keep it there. Don't move. They rebelled against the words of God. Now, rebelled against the words of God and rebelled against God. They are kind of the same, but they are not the same, if you know what I mean. So if the words of God says, go in a certain direction, and you do nothing, or you go in an opposite direction. Now, I've seen people like that. I've been in churches where they say, people of God, next week we are going to be fasting for 24 hours, the whole of the week. We are believing God for this. Then somebody says, me, I will not fast next week. Then the other week when everybody is eating, then he does what? And you think you'll never get anything from there. Nothing. Because you're raging against. Now, if you are actually under this pastor, and you believe that he carries the word of God, and they are saying as a ministry, let us fast. Fast, that's how you connect with what there is. You don't connect by raging in the opposite direction. And now that is the flesh. It will say, at least don't fast now, fast next week. And it will come up with a reason. This week there is a housewarming party on Wednesday. This week there is what? There will be reasons. Let me tell you, there will never not be reasons. There will somehow be a reason. But if you really want to attach yourself, you go with what there is, with the flow. Now he says, and they despised the counsel of the Most High, the advice. Now there are actually so many people who I know who are experts at despising the counsel of God. Where I tell them, they know the word of God says this, but they despise the counsel of God. And there is this thing, and the Lord is putting in this direction. And you go and say, the Lord is saying move in the direction of this particular business. This is the business that is going to prosper you. Move in the direction of this business. But you say, that one, I'm not so sure. This one is the one which Funirawo. You see, now you go and you miss that thing of I am what I am by the grace of God. That pushing factor. Then you go and see what happens in the next verse, which I like, because you despise the counsel of the Most High. Verse 12. Therefore, he brought down your heart with labor. You could have gotten things simple if you had gone with the curse of the Lord. But now you go down with the labor. You struggle for very small results. Because you despised the curse of God. And they fell down, they brought down their heart with labor. And I've seen people whose hearts have been brought down with labor. Like they are working and working and working. And you really see that the output is very little. And they are getting very discouraged. But it is almost always because they despise the counsel of God. There is some instruction which they refuse to obey. Some small instruction. And it might have been in a line which you didn't think was you're supposed to take. You think you're supposed to go here, then the counsel of God seems to take you here. Now somebody will say, you know what? I don't see how this is going to work. But let me go and do it. Then the next day, he's getting much output from very little labor. You understand? Very little labor, extreme output, because there is the wind of God pushing him, bringing people, doing whatever has to be done. There is something behind that is pushing him. Then for you say, because your mind now is, you know, is the one which is in control, not your spirit. Your mind says, but that one, I don't know. You know, so and so tried it and it did not work. And then the other guy also tried it, it did not work. And there is no market for that thing here. You're wasting your time. But the curse of God is telling you, you go there. Praise the Lord. Then your mind says, techijakola. And you actually believe your mind. Then he brings down your heart with hard labor. Hard labor. You walk, sweat. You sweat. Very little profit. And your heart goes down. Do you know what is, how disconcerting it is for anybody when you're putting in a lot of effort and there is no output? Then somewhere somebody is putting in little effort. Remember, there is nobody who is putting in no effort. Amen? There is an effort. But it has to be more where there is a chizimburukusa. You understand? Like little effort magnifies the results. Then you know the grace of God is with you. You do not despise the counsel of God. Now here he brings down your heart with hard labor. They fell down and there was none to help. They became weary, tired, broke, bitter. And there was nobody to help. And one instruction, by the way, let me tell you, one instruction of God could have sorted you. Because you just follow it by faith. And man, when it does not make sense, that's when you know it is from God. Because you know your mind cannot bring that up. Amen? You know this one cannot be my mind because it does not make any sense. The mind operates on the basis of sense. Does it make sense? The spirit does not know sense. It just knows the direction of God. And when you go there, that's where you find, you know, that magnifying thing. Which Kuzimbuluku says, and makes small things big in such a big time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember, his yoke is light, but it is there. Amen? He did not say there is no yoke. No, there is. There is. You have to do something. You have to discipline your body. You have to discipline yourself. That's a yoke, but it is light. And the burden is what? The yoke is easy and the burden is light. Somewhere, somebody who wants that property is sacrificing his son. But for you cannot discipline yourself to pray and meditate over it for 30 minutes. Whose yoke is easy? Yours is so easy. The Lord is saying just meditate on it for 30 minutes a day. 30 minutes, but you say no. Somebody, he goes to the devil, he says, bring your firstborn son. That's why Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is so light. But you see, some people want the yoke to be not there and the burden zero. I just do what I want and man, the blessings of God. Man, just, I wish you luck. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Rika marazanta lava shokro mozante kerkesi torosha. Rekarazata lava silo moshoro mozile nekrasile moshorozan. Rika marazata lava sik moshoro mozanta roshala mozanta. Ro rozata lava silo moshoro mozanta rosha. What do you do? You. Nothing. Huh? What do you do? I know you're looking for a job. Okay. Now I'm going to give you a job. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And anybody else who is looking for a job? Anybody else looking for a job? Stand up. The rest, everybody else sit down. If you're looking for a job, stand up. Okay? Okay, just believe with him. In the name of Jesus, I release a job for you. In Jesus' name. Where were you working?
Normally, I was working where the mutual safari is. Yes.
To a company?
Yeah.
Okay, now I release for you a job which is higher than what you had before. And I know you've been looking in that area, but it doesn't have to be in that area, but it's better. Better and more rewarding and more paying, okay? And Have you applied in, like, what did you study?
I studied media.
Media?
Yes. Media studies.
But I saw something like a bank.
No.
Have you applied?
No. I applied in Aga Khan Foundation.
For?
It was driving.
Driving?
Yeah.
Ah, that's not your level. That's not your level. You think higher than that.
Yes.
Please just think higher than that.
Yes.
And don't think survive. Now the grace of God is here to sort you. Eh?
Amen.
And that goes for everybody else. Eh? Don't think just survive. Eh? We are not on the time of survival. Okay? Amen. We're on the type of, you know?
Yes.
Amen? So receive. And now it will even come to you. Eh? In the name of Jesus, somebody comes and says, there's this, there's that. Then you go as if bandwagon, then you end up there. Eh? And now the grace of God goes with you. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay? The rest of you believe. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because you give jobs to those who seek them. In the name of Jesus, and you give promotions to those who think that they want better jobs. Rika Mazant Khravasha, you give promotion to them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Rika Marazan Televisho Kumazanto. Rika Mazanto Khashara Mazin Tarvasha Mazan Kiramaz. Rika Mazanta Now there is somebody who is doing business, eh? And there is one deal which you and you're in this direction where I'm walking, eh? There is one deal which you say, if I get this one, I'm sorted, eh? In this direction, eh? In the name of Jesus, and it's a big thing, eh? It's bigger than anything you've ever handled. In the name of Jesus, now receive it. Receive it in the name of Jesus. And you've actually pursued it for some time. And it's as if been eluding you and eluding you. Now receive it and you'll see something powerful. And it's going to be as big or even bigger than what you expected. It's going to be big. And it's going to sort you out. And it's going to be an actual breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Rika Maza, you first come. How is your business going?
It's okay.
Am I talking about you?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay. Rika Mazan Talabasiro Mosho Krasito. Amen. Amen. Okay. Just get your offering. Let me pray for it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because you do wonderful things. In the name of Jesus, I thank you because this is a connection to jobs, to promotions, to business deals. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, because your grace is upon us to take us to the next level and the next level and the next level. And we do not remain the same. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Plot 9, Kulubia Road, Bugolobi. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.